Blog Talk Radio.
Still waiting to refresh here. Oh, it's going to make me wait the full minute. Dang it. Oh, there we go. All right.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Hi, Freedomizers. This is Broccoli Man again telling you about the contest Proof Negative is doing for an ounce of silver. This contest already started, so you better get started. This is a Freedomizer radio cartoon contest. You go to extranormal.com and spell it right. It is spelled extranormal.com. Or you can go to goanimate.com, or you can create your own cartoon. It doesn't matter where you make it. Anyway, you create a cartoon. You put it up on YouTube or any other video upload site. You then send an email to contest@freedomizerradio.com with the link to your video. The cartoon has to mention Freedomizer Radio in a relevant manner. So no talking about how you like grandma's oatmeal, then saying Freedomizer Radio one time and then going back to talking about your junk. The best videos go on the freedomizerradio.com website. Entries are accepted until June 30th, 2011. Then, we all get to vote for a few days on our favorite video. Then on July 4th, 2011, a winner is chosen and Proof Negative mails out an ounce of silver to the most creative and funny cartoonist. This contest is open to everyone except me and Proof Negative. Wait a minute. Why didn't Broccoli Man make a video? Oh well. I hope someone wins Proof Silver. And remember, please listen to Freedomizer Radio and go to freedomizerradio.com and help me fight New World Order crime.
I still meet people who believe that in tough times that Big Brother will save their skin. Really, the list of cities and states that are bankrupt is growing as I speak. Let's face it, you are the first line of defense in a crisis. Do you have an extra supply of storable food and water? The stores will be empty in a matter of hours in a crisis. Look, if you're willing to face reality, call Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest, and she can help you get started no matter your budget. Healthy Harvest carries a full line of emergency preparedness and food storage products, including 300 different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. She has vital information on water storage and purification, emergency evacuation kits, and supplies. Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest is in the business of saving lives. Your life, your family's. Call Jan, toll-free 888-311-8940, 888-311-8940. Call now.
In today's world, being prepared is on everyone's mind. You're being told every day to prepare yourself. Okay, being prepared is one thing, but how are you preparing? Is the food you're going to eat something that you'll really enjoy? You know, comfort food. Or is it just something you'll eat for the sake of eating? After all, who cares about taste? You do. And at Tomorrow's Harvest, it's all about variety, taste, and a larger portion for less money. At Tomorrow's Harvest, you'll find 85 varieties of prepackaged meals, or you can customize your own family's menu. You can choose what you want, and they'll put it together for you. You choose what you and your family will eat every day. You'll find entrees like lasagna, beef stroganoff, salmon, ground beef, steak and chicken, and don't forget real milk. The kind of food that, when you need comfort, it's there. And preparation is as easy as 6 months, same as cash. Prepare today with Tomorrow's Harvest in Bountiful or online at tomorrowsharvest.com. Tomorrow's Harvest, a better taste in being prepared.
For joining us tonight. I would be the host that they call Proof Negative. I will be here with you guys for the next 2 hours and 51 minutes. We got a lot of topics to go over tonight, and I'm going to be covering a lot of them here with my first guest, actually my only guest today, I believe. And people are asking if Deidre Loomer is joining us. I am not sure because I told her that we're getting her time slots, and we're going to try to experiment with tomorrow. So I'm hoping that Uncle Buck and Deidre Loomer get their respective time slots tomorrow. Of course, I'm still waiting for everything to be processed. But until then, that's all right. Hey, everybody knows at least it's coming, and everybody's getting ready for the new segment, so I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, let me not take up too much time here because, well, I know time is precious here on the station since we pay for it, but I'm going to bring on my guest here, Dr. John Apsley, and we're going to discuss a lot about the Fukushima issue, which is being heavily underreported worldwide. I want to get into some cancer rates. I want to get into a bunch of topics. So, Dr. John, it's a pleasure having you join us today.
Yes, I'm so glad to be back. It was fun last time, and we can cover some good stuff tonight for the folks.
Well, I don't know about good stuff, but it is stuff that needs to be covered nonetheless. I just wish I was covering happy stuff.
Well, we got some solutions, though. That's what the good stuff is.
Okay. So where do you want to start us, and we'll figure it out as we go along here. But I usually let the guests pick where to start.
Yeah, well, thank you on that. You know, it is such a wide subject. I think the first thing is for everyone to realize that since the 50s, it's been policy of the United States government officially not to report accurately or to underreport or to give, in some cases, actual misinformation on anything going on with radioactive releases, either from weapons development programs, like such as the one over here in Hanford in Washington State, or from nuclear power plants. And the reason was is that it made a lot of sense. If you wanted to make the United States secure in terms of energy, you had to give some sort of leeway. And they tried to do a good job to keep the radiation releases down to a minimum. But unfortunately, it just didn't work. So there's a lot of denial that goes on, and because I think there's a gut instinct that folks have that when there is a Chernobyl or a Three Mile Island or now a Fukushima event, that this is really nasty stuff. And I'd like to say that if we were to look at poisons or toxins in the environment, if you wanted to create the perfect molecule, you would create radioactive particles as being the perfect molecule that would be the most toxic, because it's like the ever-ready battery. They just don't stop. They just keep on going once you ingest them or you inhale them. And part of the misinformation campaign that we have from the official agencies is that they try to compare this to getting a chest X-ray, which are it's completely different. When you get a chest X-ray, you're getting it for a brief millisecond, and then it's done. This
or a TSA naked body scan.
Right, exactly, which also isn't good for you. So all these things do compound, but if you have, you know, here in the greater Seattle area, we're breathing in at least 10 hot particles a day here per person every single day from the Fukushima. These stay in our lungs for long time periods, and they cause massive destruction. And unless you're able to take in enough antioxidants in the diet, unless you know about them, which is why we're here tonight to discuss this with the folks. This just keeps on going, keeps on eating away at your system, and that's why that we have such a high rate of cancer in this country. It was actually going down, proof. It was going down until we started perfecting nuclear power. And
if I could just interject here. I was reading a little bit. There were some excerpts that Alex Jones put out about that eco-science book with the science czar, John P. Holdren. And what I was gathering with my research with a few other articles in relation to eco-science, if you live to be 40 years old in their perfect world, it would be considered a miracle.
Well,
so
they
really want to cut down the population and the age that you live till. So is this something that play right in? Because they don't want you knowing how to save yourself. They just want you gone.
Well, let's talk about how to save ourselves. I think that there's a lot to that, because let's say there's both a conscious conspiracy and an unconscious conspiracy. It still adds up to the same thing. If just out of ignorance, we are doing this because we think we have a good idea that we need nuclear power because it keeps society going, versus those people who know the truth and still keep the nuclear power industry going and then give out misinformation. It amounts to the same thing as it in terms of harm, doesn't it?
Yes.
So It does. So we have to realize that here in America, as what's different than us and than other countries, is that the people are the government. And the moment that government starts taking over whatever it is that they're going to start taking over is where we start to lose our freedom, we start to lose our health, we start to lose our personal choices, specifically that relate to common sense. And then you get a bureaucratic process going, and you get some crony capitalism, and I'm a free enterprise guy. But when you have people in industry that have all the power take over our federal agencies, like the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, for example, it's a real problem. And so we have to realize that it's our responsibility, and then we can actually do something about it. Now, when we're talking about these conspiracies, if anyone can stop it, it's us here in the United States, because we're not victim consciousness here. We're not saying, but the government, if they don't fix it, then I guess we're doomed, so they need to fix it. And then we go to the voting booths once a year or twice every 4 years to try to fix it. No, we can do stuff now, today, right now.
No, that's true. So what are you proposing?
Well, I think we need to wake up. That's why I paused. It is
okay.
Up to us. It's not up to other folks. The types of foods that we're taking in right now, for example, if you're eating really high in the food chain, you're eating meat, you're eating lots of dairy, all that, cows get all of this radiation that's landed across the United States, especially on the West Coast, and they bioaccumulate it. So it's very simple to do. You just begin to eat lower in the food chain. That doesn't mean you have to give up all of your meat. That means that if you like salmon, please get it from the Atlantic Ocean. You know, if you like cheese, please get it from parts of Europe that aren't contaminated, which, you know, like parts of Italy, for example. If you're on the East Coast, you know, you're a lot safer than you are here on the West Coast in terms of drinking milk on a daily basis. Butter is a particular food where it hoards a lot of cesium, a radioactive cesium, for example. Now, last thing about this whole thing is that it's the low, low, low doses that are the most dangerous. It's not the high doses, because, as I said, all it takes is a few particles to get inside your body, and they stay on 24/7. And so now we can begin to talk about the antioxidants that our body has. That's
okay.
The antidote. They're the antidote to these things, and we can also get these from our diet. So we do have solutions, and then we can spread the word. We don't have to be victims of this. If you have someone in your family that comes down with breast cancer, you begin to think, I wonder if this had something to do with radiation. Sure enough, you know, 55% of all the breast cancer cases here in the country are downwind from nuclear power plants. So things like vitamin C, very simple, very inexpensive.
Yes and no. I mean, if you're eating the true fruit itself, it's really hard now to know what vitamin C levels you have. And you have to know if you're eating fruit, if it's fluoridated or if it's radioactive.
You know, this is where I had to write a book on this whole thing, because you're right. If we wash the vegetables, we're going to be taking all the stuff on the outer skin off. We do that real simply with some water and some baking soda. That's really good for removing it. Once it gets inside the fruit, you're still going to be doing quite well by eating it, because it's a lot different than if you're eating a meat or higher up in the food chain, like the dairy, because it tends to increase in its number. So still, it's very safe to eat low in the food chain. Now, let me give folks a good story here. When the atomic bomb was dropped in Nagasaki back in 1945, there were two hospitals that were about a mile from ground zero. One hospital ate low in the food chain, and it was all natural. That was what they used to treat the patients there and the staff. And they used a lot of miso soup, they used a lot of vegetables, they had some raw fruits that were actually in the diet, and they restricted all sorts of candies, no junk food. There wasn't much anyway because it was wartime. There was no dairy products, and they had 100% survival. The other hospital that used standard conventional treatments had 100% death rate, including the staff. So there is a way with simplifying our diet that we can get the protection that we need, and then just amplify it by some, maybe taking an extra supplement or two in our diet.
Okay.
So it is something that can be done. Now, with starting off with vitamin C, we do get that from orange juice, and we get it from our fresh fruits and vegetables. And there are other good things in there, like pectin, that grab onto these radioactive particles and pull them out. Over in Chernobyl, where they didn't have a lot of money with the fall of the Soviet Empire, they still were able to get their children, their body burdens of the radioactivity down by well over 50 to 60% in pretty short order once they knew to start bringing, you know, these concepts in. And the one thing they used was fruit, a fresh fruit, because it has pectin. It's a type of fiber, and it will pull out the radioactivity out of the children. The second thing they used is something that's very popular here in this country, although mostly we see it on commercials when women put a bunch of clay on their face and they kind of look funny, but it's a commercial. It's a beauty treatment, right?
Yeah.
It turns out that clay is an edible form, and it will not only put minerals into the body, but it pulls out the toxins, the radioactive particles, and it's very inexpensive. You just use a little bit once a day, and you're good to go. So between taking yourself out of harm's way by eating lower in the food chain when you can, and eating seafood from the Atlantic and dairy products from the East Coast, you've done yourself a world of good for the long term. And then when you add in things like vitamin C and maybe some spirulina, which are in tablet form, maybe if you have a multiple vitamin and mineral tablet, just a one a day type thing, you've done yourself just a whole bunch of good. And this is something you can replicate with your friends. You can tell your friends about it, and then we can hopefully start to turn this thing around.
All right. But let me ask you, though, some fruits are better than others. And we also have to worry about if the fruit is irradiated first.
Well, if you're eating let's talk about that, because this is an area I have great interest in. When we properly mineralize the soils, then the nutritional value of everything grown on it is going to be much greater than when it's commercially grown, because commercial grown foods have like four things added into the soil, and yet fruits and vegetables like to take out dozens of things from the soil. So if we're not putting it back in, we're not getting it back out. The second thing is that when radioactive particles hit the soil, there's a lot of clay in the soil. Not a lot in some areas, but in a lot of areas there's some clay. And that clay is going to hold on to the radioactive particle. It takes a long time for it to go down to where the roots can get to it. So you do have a lot of protection in soils from the radioactivity, and that's one nice reason why that if you're using a well for your water supply, you don't have to worry about radioactivity getting down into that water supply. So we're relatively safe by eating low in the food chain. It's not going to be 100%, but it's going to be a lot better than if you're a meat and potatoes and dairy person. You're going to have health problems anyway with that, but there are some folks out there that, yeah. So these are the folks that should slowly start to incorporate a lot of fresh fruit into their diet on top of if they're just really hooked on meat and potatoes and dairy, because that fruit will really help to pull this stuff out of the system.
Right, and so we want to find things like kelp as well, right? I'm trying to think of what else has that type of nutrients in it, because you want to protect your insides as much as you can.
That's exactly correct. So if you look at, I see you've been doing some good reading on this. If kelp is a seaweed, it's a sea vegetable. It's one of the things that they put into the miso soup in Japan,
right.
And it has a lot of chlorophyll in it. and it has a lot of other good minerals in there, like iodine, and it will help the body to repair itself as well as pull these toxins, these radioactive particles, out of the body. So in Chernobyl, when they were trying to get the kids well over there, that's another substance that they use because it's very inexpensive. I would just encourage everyone to try to buy kelp tablets that, and you know, right now you're okay because it's in the bottles and it's been there for a while, so we're okay. But soon, make sure that the kelp that you're getting at the grocery store is coming from the Atlantic Ocean, not from the Pacific Ocean, because one of the things that we need
right.
to touch briefly about is that the amount of radiation going into the ocean right now from Fukushima is unprecedented. It is huge.
Well,
it
let me ask
lot-
you, is South America affected on this as well?
No. The Southern Hemisphere has been and will continue to be relatively immune from both the oceanic releases as well as the airborne releases.
Okay, so kelp from Chile, for example. But do they irradiate kelp like they do the oranges and stuff that come from Chile?
You know, it's a good point. I don't know. Irradiation in that regard is something that they're going to do just for an instant to keep it sterile from bacteria. There won't be lingering radioactivity in the food. However, I would never eat irradiated food because it alters
right.
the protein structure of the vegetable or
meat. Yeah, and then if you
or,
microwave it, and it always gave me the willies when someone microwaves a can of green beans.
Yeah, even when you heat water up, they did this with baby formula where they just warmed up the baby formula, and it actually did quite a bit of harm. It actually killed a few babies. And they studied this. They tried to figure out, well, why in the world would warming up baby food, the baby formula, why would that cause a baby to die sometimes? And it's because of how the molecules are shaken in such a violent way, billions of times a second, that it changes the food. And so that's something that we don't use a microwave in our home, for example.
Okay. We just picked up a toaster oven. I'm we have a microwave oven, but it hasn't really been used all that often lately. I've been getting myself out of it for the past year or so.
So, you know, this whole thing about diet and then how to cook foods, it will take care of so many other problems. So if we're eating relatively low on the food chain, if we're getting organic foods that have been remineralized, and we eat them as raw as possible, say 40, 50% of our intake, we're aiming for raw food. All the vitamins, the vitamin C will be there. We're getting a little bit of sunshine that if we can each day or every other day or once a week. Certainly during the summertime, before the winter hits, we should try to get outside at least for 15, 20 minutes in the sunshine. If we're eating enough of these raw food factors from fruits and vegetables, the skin, our skin, actually has more protection in there. So we don't have to use sunscreens as long as we're not out for all day long. But if we don't eat those kinds of foods that protect us from the sun, then, of course, that's where the risks are for skin cancer. So the point being that radiation from the sun or radiation from food that we're eating from, Fukushima, for example, if we're doing the right things with our diet otherwise, we're already protected to a great extent. So if we're eating raw foods, apples, peaches, oranges, we're getting a little bit of sun each day during the summer months, for the vitamin D, then when we have these additional stresses, our bodies are really set to handle the additional stress. That's the major point there.
Right. And by the way, Dr. John Apsley is our guest right now, and we're covering Fukushima. We're getting into cancer. We're getting into some of the vitamin C. And I was just writing in the chat room for those of you who are microwave users. A toaster oven to me is so much better. That's like been I got three favorite items in my kitchen. One's a dehydrator, one's a crock pot, and of course my toaster oven.
And do you have a super blender also?
No, I've been using my Magic Bullet. I don't have a super blender. I'm sorry.
You have a Magic Bullet. Is that a blender?
Yeah, it's one of those. They were on the infomercials. It's that Australian couple that comes on and talks about how they can whip up various foods in 12 seconds or less or whatever.
Okay. Well, that's the other fun part about this. It really is the fun part.
I have
part.
A juicer, too, but I'm just saying. Go
ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, not at all. So let's say that you wanted to do your family a whole lot of good and you want to make it as simple as possible. The best thing to do is to take some fruits and some good water or some other good juice, maybe some apple juice that you buy at the store, and put it into your blender and turn it up high and just blend it together and make and put some ice in it, maybe add a banana into it. Okay. And right there and then you've got all this pectin that's in there and all this vitamin C. And that'll just do your children a whole lot of good. And you could give that to them as a refreshing drink, or you can make it in, if it's real icy, you can make it as like a sorbet.
Okay.
That's the kind of thing that we can do once a day that will protect our kids. It's very simple and they like it.
All right. And can you just give us some hints on what else we can look for with lots of antioxidants? And that should cover a few minutes. I'm gonna want to take a break in about 3 to 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. Now, antioxidants come mostly from the diet. If you're running a little bit behind because you're handling a lot of stress in your life and you're running around like crazy, like most of us, then I recommend taking some extra vitamin C. I like to have a little extra vitamin E. That comes from wheat germ oil, or you can get your own vitamin E. Make sure it's natural vitamin E. And then you're getting your natural vitamin D and vitamin A either from your cod liver oil capsules, because it doesn't taste good. But there are new products out with cod liver oil and cods from the Atlantic, so you're safe there, that they flavor it. They flavor it with lemon, real natural lemon, and kids actually do like that. That's something you could throw into the smoothie, or, again, you just take the capsules. Now, some women have problems swallowing capsules because they're actually low in not only vitamin D but also other oils like flax oil, for example, and they have a hard time bringing calcium into their body. So with this smoothie, you can begin to think of, gosh, this could be my one meal replacement during the day or a snack during the day where I can put a little extra calcium in there. I can put a little bit of cod liver oil that I can't taste it, just a little bit, along with these fruits. And it becomes a super nourishing drink that protects you all day long. And you just have to experiment with the recipes. You make sure you use just the types of things that will make it delicious every single time. And there's lots of recipes out there, especially if you get one of these blenders online or if you watch a commercial, they come with booklets. And all of the antioxidants are going to be in there as well. So I actually like to make tomato soup with it. I get some organic tomatoes. I get some fresh cilantro. I get some fresh garlic. And I add a little bit of sea salt and sometimes a little bit of tamari, other seasonings too. And then a little bit of celery, not much, just the tops of the leaves where the celery has all of its leaves. That's where the taste is for me.
In the leaves?
In the leaves, yeah.
Okay.
And then I just turn on that super blender and like in 3 minutes, it's not only hot, but it's still not cooked in the sense that it becomes a cooked food. It's still a raw food. It's an absolutely delicious tomato soup. And that has all the antioxidants in it as well. So between making a smoothie with fruits, and if you have access to, if you want to make it a milk smoothie, I like the nut milks. So like the almond milk, the hazelnut milk, those aren't going to be contaminated. Some people like the soy milk. Other people like it's better than milk. That way you.
I don't know about that, but okay. I like my smoothie.
You like your smoothie. So if you, if you,
I don't want to lose sperm count because I want to have soy.
Well, no, I think you'll be okay with the soy with that. Interesting you should say that. You know, since you brought up the subject, I happen to know a little bit about this. Because we're not eating enough raw foods and because of these toxins in our environment, the average U.S. male has lost 50% of the viable spermatozoa that we had back in the 50s. And I think that's probably true with women, too. And one of the things we look at when we are declining in terms of overall health is what our reproductive rate is. And we're having a lot of folks today that are in trouble. They have to adopt because they can't get themselves pregnant. So this is how, again, we start to reverse this whole thing, getting into the raw foods, eating low on the food chain, making sure the foods are grown organically, and then the convection ovens that you're talking about, I like to use the larger convection ovens, but the toaster ovens are great too. Staying away from the microwave foods, we're going to be able to turn this whole thing around.
Now, see, I'm a pizza maker, so my toaster oven had to be big enough to at least put a 12-inch pizza in the oven.
Well, we are too. We love our pizza, and we get our pizza imported, from Italy, so it's safe.
Oh, wow.
We like the Parmesan and the Cassari and the mozzarella, and then we make our own tomato sauce, fresh, and we use wheat-free dough, because we have a family that's sensitive to wheat. But
celiac screw?
A little bit, yeah, that's right, on my wife's side. And it just makes the best pizza in the whole world.
Okay, yeah, I'm partial to New York pizza. Well, I'm from Long Island, so that wouldn't be a shock to anybody.
Yeah, that's my mom's from there, and New York has some of the best pizza. I think, really, though, New York has to take a back step, though, to Boston for pizza. They actually do, I think, have the best. So,
by the way, where in New York, upstate or Long Island?
Where my mom was from?
Yeah,
I was Long Island, Baldwin.
Okay, I was born in Smithtown.
Oh, okay. All right, know the area pretty well. I was originally a Connecticut Yankee for many years, so.
Oh, all right. I got you. That's why we get along.
Yeah, that's yeah.
All right, well, let me grab my break time here so that tomorrow's Harvest and all them don't get too disappointed in the show. What do we want to cover when we get back? Let's give a little teaser out.
Well, I'd like to talk about how that if we lay down the proper foundation now for the Fukushima, that we're also going to be, for long-term, preventing all the other chronic degenerative diseases from hitting us as well. And then I'd like to end the show with how the body actually regenerates so we can live healthfully until we're 90, 100 years of age.
Okay. Hey, I think that's a great thing to finish with tonight, at least our end here. We're here with Dr. John Apsley, everybody, and you want to give people your website real quick?
Sure, it's drapsley.com, and you spell that doctor, you spell it out, Apsley, A, P as in Paul, S as in Sam, LEY.com. And also, I'll be in Chicago this coming weekend, and you can look at Health Freedom Expo, and I'll be giving a couple lectures there if you happen to be in the area. Drop by. It's the Friday's free, and the rest of the weekend's only $35, and so you'll have a good time.
Excellent. All right, well, we'll be right back, you guys. Stay right there.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
Hi folks, CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource, tomorrowsharvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high-quality, cost-effective, and long-term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities. Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you prepare with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them your freedom.
Are you tired of arguing about left and right? Are you sick of being asked what your political beliefs are? Are you fed up with being chained to the party plantation? Then find your independence with Chris. Saturday nights on Political Independence. Where you'll hear current events, commentary, debate, relevant guests, and occasionally critic cracking at whip at those that want to keep you shackled to the Democrats and the Republicans. Rid yourself of the political chains that the two parties have placed you in. Again, that's Political Independence, Saturday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on Freedomizer Radio. Free your mind, and the rest will follow.
Hi, Freedomizers. This is Broccoli Man again telling you about the contest Proof Negative is doing for an ounce of silver. This contest already started, so you better get started. This is a Freedomizer Radio cartoon contest. You go to extranormal.com and spell it right. It is spelled extranormal.com. Or you can go to goanimate.com, or you can create your own cartoon. It doesn't matter where you make it. Anyway, you create a cartoon. You put it up on YouTube or any other video upload site. You then send an email to contest@freedomizerradio.com with the link to your video. The cartoon has to mention Freedomizer Radio in a relevant manner. So no talking about how you like grandma's oatmeal then saying Freedomizer Radio one time and then going back to talking about your junk. The best videos go on the freedomizerradio.com website. Entries are accepted until June 30th, 2011. Then, we all get to vote for a few days on our favorite video. Then on July 4th, 2011, a winner is chosen and Proof Negative mails out an ounce of silver to the most creative and funny cartoonist. This contest is open to everyone except me and Proof Negative. Wait a minute. Why can't Broccoli Man make a video? Oh well. I hope someone wins Proof Silver. And remember, please listen to Freedomizer Radio and go to freedomizerradio.com and help me fight New World Order crime.
All right, guys, we are back. Proof is back here along with Dr. John Apsley. And you gave the little teaser before, so I'll let you continue on that.
Yes, you know, my specialty over the past 30 years has been how we regenerate ourselves. How does the human body regenerate itself? And what I've noticed over the past three decades is how everyone wants to commercialize this. We want to put it into the laboratory. We want to do something that costs a lot of money to replicate what the body's supposed to do, and then charge a lot of dollars for giving this type of new product or this new medical procedure back to the public. And it always was confusing to me because I said, you know, we have the greatest laboratory in the whole world right here in our own body. And we have our own stem cells. They're there for a purpose. They're there to work when we need them to come back online. And when I began to realize why we weren't living to the age of a tree, looking at the major factors as to what was keeping us from living to 100, 105, 110 in perfect health, there were a couple things that caught my eye. The first thing was is that the minerals in the soil, since 1936, 1938, when the first studies came out, we've been rinsing all of the good minerals right out of our soil. And it either goes in through, since it's already, we've been putting so few back things back into the soil, it either has diminished because of that or because of rain. Rain just washing into the soil and it goes into the rivers and streams back into the ocean. So we have to put the minerals back into the soil. And the people that are into organic farming and remineralizing their soil, it's not that difficult to do. You just take some rock dust. It's like a flower-like rock, and you just spread it on your garden once every 10 years. That's how little it, that people need it. About a ton per acre will last for a full 10 years. And you can do that in smaller amounts according to the size of the plot of land that you have, a little garden that you have, even once a year, just a little bit, and you're good to go. And what I noticed was when people eat those kinds of foods, if they eat a tomato in their, even if it's a little pot that you grow in your backyard and you remineralize it with this rock dust, it just tastes incredibly good. You make some tomato soup out of that, and it's like, wow, this is a feast. So if we do those kinds of things, then we start getting healthier and healthier and healthier and healthier, and we need to visit the doctor less and less and less. But we've been doing the opposite. We've been going to the doctor more and more and more, and we have less and less minerals in our system. Now, one of the things that became apparent is that we physicians were taught the wrong chemistry in medical school. We were taught the chemistry that requires a great deal of heat in order for it to produce enough chemicals for regular life to happen. At normal body temperature, that kind of chemistry doesn't produce what we need, and yet it's the only kind of chemistry that we were taught. Fortunately, out of Harvard back in the 70s, the guy who invented the MRI, his name is Raymond Damadian, he was able to invent this machine, and for the first time they were able to see a cell in its living state and what it was actually made up of. And this is what I wanted to share with your folks tonight to tell them how to start living to the age of a tree again. In every cell that's alive, whether it's a plant or whether it's an animal or whether it's yourself, you've got three things. You've got a particular kind of water. It's a structured water. And once you cook it, it loses that structure. So it's really important that we get at least some raw foods in our diet each day. The second thing that's in these cells, when they're healthy, is an abundance of minerals. An abundance of minerals. And these minerals aren't attached to anything. They're relatively free. And that's not the chemistry that we were taught at medical school. And I'll get back to that in just another second. And then third thing is a particular kind of protein. And this there's a whole bunch of different types of proteins in cells, but the ones that really make life happen are the kinds of proteins that we get when we are being breastfed, when we're first born. And those types of proteins tend to stay in our system during the first 2 years of our life when we take them in for the rest of our lives. Fortunately, there are things for those of us like myself that weren't breastfed that we can do today that can put it back into our system. One of those things we talked about is the spirulina or the chlorella. There are probably some of those proteins in kelp too. But we also get it from whey. And whey is from dairy. It's from milk, cow's milk. And it's a particular kind of protein from cow's milk. Because cow's milk can be, even of the high quality kind, there is a kind of protein in there that some of us can't digest. We have to take... either avoid dairy or just take some digestive enzymes with it. But there's this perfect protein that's in cow milk. And fortunately, there are supplements companies that take this whey, and it makes a fantastic smoothie. You can buy it. You can even buy it in some of these commercial stores now, like Costco. And this is where we really start to put this particular kind of protein back into our cells again. So that's three things. Now, when a radiation particle comes in or when a real severe toxin comes in, whether it's a pesticide or whether it's some sort of other pollutant, okay. the first thing it starts to do, David, is it produces hydrogen peroxide inside the cells or other forms of radical oxygens. And then it burns. It's like an internal sunburn starts. And that's where, if we're eating enough raw food, that we get just enough vitamin C or we have some vitamin E in our diet, it puts it out immediately. And that's the secret. That's how we, the folks that live to the age of a tree, do it. So if you look at places in Ikra, Greece, in Sardinia, Italy, in Okinawa, Japan, in Costa Rica, there's a place called Nicoya. It's up on the mountainous area. And even in Loma Linda area in Los Angeles, believe it or not, these folks live much longer than the rest of us do, and they're almost entirely disease-free. They have a few problems, but much, much less than the rest of us do. And these folks across the board will eat these kinds of foods that are mineral-rich, that will support the real chemistry of our cell to have the right kind of water, the right kind of minerals, and the right kind of protein. And what we now just bring this whole thing back to the science. When Damodian started looking at this, he saw for the first time that the cell wasn't anything like what we were taught it was like. He's an MD and also a PhD. And he goes, my gosh, this is completely different than what we thought the cell was made up of. And one of his PhDs that worked for him was a biophysicist named Freeman Cope. Cope ran into a man, another physician, who was treating cancer at the end stages very successfully. His name was Max Gerson. And Max Gerson and he got to conversing back and forth, and Freeman Cope, being really brilliant like he was, decided to look at some tissue samples of folks who had been using the Gerson protocol. And lo and behold, he was able to show that the typical person who had cancer, who had damaged tissue, who had the wrong kind of water inside the cell, didn't have the proper spectrum of minerals, and had an alteration of the protein, that when they were on the Gerson program, that entirely reversed. And so in a very real way, he was watching the reversal not only of the cancer, but of the aging process itself. And these publications came out in the peer review journal back in the 70s. And so for the past 40 years, this group, that this research think tank that was put together by Raymond Damodian, has been putting out the correct chemistry on how human beings are actually supposed to be on the inside of their cells, tissues, organs, you name it. So with that reference point, for the first time, David, we have the opportunity to see how we really should be doing our gardening, how we really should be preparing our menu, and how we should be thinking in terms of medicine. And so that's something that I'm hoping that we can, you know, not if not today, maybe some other time in the future, we can get some questions in, because we can have folks start doing this in their backyard. They it's really easy. You just plant in a certain way. You have a once a day you have a salad that's grown properly. And you start transforming your entire family's health picture, and then all of this stuff that's going on about a national healthcare system, the need for that starts going away. Because guess what? If we don't fix these three things in ourselves, it doesn't matter how good we have a medical insurance program. It won't matter. We're going to continue to get sicker and sicker and sicker.
Well, let me bring up a topic here, and I have a caller too, so I was hoping to get to them before the break. But I remember when the Obamacare was first being acknowledged, and the CEO of Whole Foods, John Mackey, came out with an 8-page plan for healthcare, and it all revolved around working out, getting exercise, getting your vitamin D by getting your time in at the park, and eating healthy. And instead, they decided to put a pseudo boycott on Whole Foods for coming up with this atrocity.
That's right, because if you're a big government kind of guy, kind of politician, you think that the solution is through big government, and that's exactly the opposite of what's true. If we learn how to take care of ourselves, we don't need big government. And, you know, in America, it requires a grown-up citizen to be a citizen of this country. It's not like other countries where there are nanny states. If we could have a large government that got it right, then, you know, I wouldn't be so outspoken about this. But what I've noticed is that if the individual is empowered with the simple solutions, then they not only do they stay healthier, not only do we have a great economy, but we don't need a big government because it just gets in our way. So having said that, the last thing that I noticed about how when the mineral started evaporating, basically, if you will, from the soil because of the way that we practice commercial farming, is the second thing that came in were these almost perfect lethal pollutants. And again, I'm a free enterprise type of guy, but you know, when you blow smoke in someone's face, if you're a smoker, it just is rude. You know, it's okay that you're smoking, but don't do it to where I have to breathe in your secondhand smoke because it's yucky to me. I honor your sovereignty to go ahead and smoke if you want to, but just not in my space. Well,
right.
the same thing with making big business happen in this country. As long as you're not killing, you know, babies and women and other people while you're doing your thing, I'm all for it. But when you're able to infiltrate government and form a crony capitalistic type of relationship with a federal agency so that you wipe out other forms of competition to your industry as well as keep the right information from the folks to know how to what's really going on, as we are with nuclear power, I'm not for that. That's where I draw the line. And so whether you're a Republican or whether you're a Democrat, if you're honoring the fact that we as human beings here in the United States, we're grown-ups. We're not about being a victim, or we're not about being taken care of. We're about standing on our own two feet. And so just get us the information that we need or get out of our way. That's how I feel about it. That's just my little political speech there.
All right. Now let's go to our caller here, Constitution Hour, calling from Georgia. Go ahead. You're on with Proof and Dr. Apsley. Proof speaking.
How's it going, Proof? Doc, how's you doing?
I'm
very good, sir.
I had a question for you. Have you run across in your time and studies something called stabilized oxygen?
Yes. With the regeneration program that I put together, it's under a four-pillar process. The first pillar is detoxification, and the second pillar is reoxygenation. So with the detoxification, I mentioned earlier about the water. There's a certain kind of water, and that comes from raw foods. And so if you take enough of really good water and just drink the proper amount each day, and you have enough fiber in your diet, you've accomplished a lot of what the detox is all about. And that comes from eating a diet that's about 50% raw foods that's grown properly. So that takes care of that part. But the oxygen part, that's a whole different story. So I said that part of the problem with pollutants is that they take oxygen and they turn it into a radical, and it overwhelms our system. But the problem with that is that our own immune system does the same thing to kill the bad guys, whether it's a cancer tissue or whether it's a fungi or a virus or a bacteria. So we're going to have to dance with oxygen. We're just going to have to. And the antioxidants are the ones that keep the dance to our favor. So if you have enough oxygen in your system and your immune system is working properly, then with the antioxidants in place from your raw food diet, 50% raw, maybe 60% raw, you can do the dance and be effective against most diseases that come your way, a virus, an influenza, a common cold, that type of thing.
Sure.
But there are folks, though, who are low in oxygen, especially as we age, past the age of 50. The saturation of oxygen in our body becomes quite a bit less than when we're healthy in the age of 25. So in those cases, if you have stabilized oxygen supplements, such as there are kinds of stabilized hydrogen peroxide, they put it in with aloe vera, or other forms of molecules that store extra oxygen in the water solution, that when we drink that, it's like we're taking an extra deep breath of oxygen. We're getting more oxygen into our tissues. And there are a few studies out that I really focused in on, and you can show that when you're using these kinds of tools properly, that the immune system will not only work better, but the tissues, the cells everywhere will start working better. And it's my belief that if we were to put a little measuring device, you know, these runners that people who like to jog, they'll keep track of their pulse, and sometimes they'll have a little finger device where they'll measure the amount of oxygen going through their bodies. They're about $100.
Yeah, pulse ox.
Pulse ox, that's right. You'll see that I think that these long-lived people that are 90, 100 years of age and have no real chronic illness, you're going to see their oxygen levels up really high, and it turns out that they exercise almost every day for hours and hours. And they breathe, and they're walking up and down hills, and they're walking a herd of sheep or whatever. They're getting that fresh air into their lungs. And if we, in our sedentary lifestyles, don't have that opportunity, then I think that these stabilized oxygen products, especially the ones with research behind them, could be quite good.
Fantastic. One of the other questions I had, and I know you were talking about some of the cesium, are you familiar with Dr. Mettler or a book by a young lady named Gwyneth Cravens, The Power to Save the World?
You know, I'm just beginning to hear there are a group of experts in this field that have been in there much longer than I have, and I'm starting to run across their names. But please go on. Tell me a little bit more about the book.
Well, a friend of mine gave it to me, and I found it to be a very interesting read, and the young lady that wrote it was pretty much what most of us would consider to be a liberal tree hugger.
Okay.
And so she was very anti-nuclear power, so I think she went into her subject with an opinion and an agenda starting out. But I think by the end of the book, she kind of changed her tune a little bit. And one of the individuals she met was Mettler, and then another guy named Rip Anderson, I believe it was. And he was in the Los Alamos nuclear facility. And
well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was looking in the chat room when you mentioned Rip Anderson. So I was trying to find somebody, because I thought you meant RIP, somebody named Anderson. So I was looking to see who was named Anderson that passed away.
No. And this guy was, obviously a very, very bright individual. And one of the things you were talking about with the clay is something that he actually had told her in the book when they were mining uranium down in New Mexico in the mines, that one of the ways they had to clean up part of the sites was to bury it in clay, because the clay actually kept the particles, the neutrons, from escaping as the material decayed. But I found it pretty interesting looking through their studies. Like surrounding Chernobyl, they said despite a lot of the hype and fear that surrounded Chernobyl, now some 25-odd years after the fact, when the book was written, they can only show 50 deaths that were directly accountable to the Chernobyl disaster. And a lot of the increase that they expected to see in cancer rates didn't really happen.
So, and what do you think about that?
Well, you know, you got to wonder. Of course, we get conflicting information, but I mean, the science is there. Certainly, the decay rate of the cesium has a lot to do with it, and how much cesium you're exposed to you know, from what I can under, from what I understand, the cesium-137 decays pretty rapidly, and short of getting massive doses, of course, any dose of cesium-137 is going to increase your risk of cancer, especially, you know, lymphomas and like a leukemia. But man, this guy is relentless proof.
No, I'm very grateful for your input.
No, I mean, we've got a troll in the chat room, and he just keeps bouncing back. I wasn't talking about you.
Okay. Well, I'm still very grateful to you.
I'll bring this up here. Yeah, if I don't allow profanity in my chat room, it means I'm against freedom of speech. Yeah, I like that. Good try. You are welcome to start your own show and go against me if you like. But... yeah, we don't allow that kind of language here. But go ahead.
Who are you talking to, Proof?
Oh, everybody. That's fine.
Oh, everybody? Okay. All right. I was only hearing this gentleman here. He was very well spoken. Okay, so let's clear up the air about what really happened at Chernobyl. The real science at Chernobyl, and there are scientists who will disagree, but the real scientists... And there are dozens and dozens of them who went into the field in the greater Belarus area where most of the fallout occurred, have documented meticulously both being at the clinics themselves, by taking videos, by interviewing patients, by interviewing children, right up to the present moment, and by going through over 5,000 of the Russian peer-reviewed pieces of literature on studies that were done, because there was a massive cover-up by the Soviet Union right away, a massive cover-up. The first 3.5 years, it was illegal to talk about the truth about what was happening at Chernobyl. We now know that no less than 985,000 people were killed because of Chernobyl fallout. So if you go to Wikipedia, you'll see a completely different story. And this is where we have to understand that we have to become better informed.
Absolutely. And that's really, I think, you know, everyone that listens on here, I'm sure, has the same goal in mind that I do, and I just want to know the truth, you know, whatever it is.
Me too.
Certainly not relying on Wikipedia for any kind of information, but... you know, it's a pretty glaring, huge difference in what the guys in this book are saying and a lot of the other things that I've heard about Chernobyl over the lifespan of the disaster, I guess.
Yes, and it's a complex subject, but let me try to simplify it. Do we have some time, Proof? Can I go on for a little bit longer?
I have to take 5 breaks in 3 hours, so I guess this will be the half hour I skip. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, please just let me know. So what we have with radiation poisoning is we have a perpetual toxin that once it gets into the body, it's extremely difficult for it to get out unless you do things like take fresh fruit and clay and lots of good water and kelp and pull it out. That's what everyone should realize, because that's what they've done with the kids and in the soil, by the way. And you're correct, clay is one of the things they can use to quench some of the radioactivity, but I think you were referring mostly to the boron. Some of the dirt they were using was they had a lot of boron that was added to it, and that will absorb the neutrons, which is another kind of pollutant that comes out of radiation poisoning. But radiation poisoning occurs in phases over a period of 3, 5, 6, 8, 10 decades. In the case of man-made radiation, where we have a nuclear accident, you're correct. Cesium-137 and strontium-90 are things that have a half-life of 30 years, but they have a biological life of about 300 years. So during the first 100 years after an accident, there's going to be waves up and down of these two elements taking dramatic tolls on life. And you'll have some dips, and you'll have some height where things get really out of hand and then things calm back down again. And that's according to a complex reason that It's related to how the food chain goes through bioaccumulating the radioactivity, and then something like a group of animals eating off of mushrooms and grasses and other things during certain cycles, and then human beings then at the top of the food chain eating those animals, and then the whole cycle starts over again. So what they've noticed in Chernobyl is that the first 3 years when there was that initial dying off of people from the iodine and the higher levels of radiation from the cesium and the strontium, that the death rates then started going down. And with the depleted uranium with our Gulf War troops, we had probably over half of our troops come back from that engagement in Gulf War I actually get sick over the past, 15, well, it's been about since 1990, early 1992. So it's been about 15, 16 years. Probably about half of our troops have reported sickness. And the ones that were particular around depleted uranium, they had very, very high rates of cancer. And that occurred in waves. So one of the things that low-dose radiation does is it melts, literally it turns rancid, the fats in our body that is very, very protective of our nervous system. So there's been a lot of depression. There were initially there was a lot of Lou Gehrig's disease. There were a lot of neurological disorders. And that pretty much stopped about 2001, 2002, 2003 as far as our troops were concerned. And then it began to morph. It morphed then with the next generation of effects in people that did – let me make this clear. So if you didn't get sick with anything from 1992 when you served in Gulf War I until 2001 – then you weren't going to get sick with, let's say, Lou Gehrig's disease. But then with the next 5 years it comes along, you could get sick with something else as a direct result of the radiation poisoning that you got from depleted uranium. Now, going back to Chernobyl, Chernobyl released dozens of different kinds of radioactive particles, including uranium. But we're only looking at the initial one with iodine. They love to talk about iodine, the official agencies, because
right.
That only has a half-life of 8.5 days, right?
Correct.
Correct. So that's a beautiful thing to contain the fear about this. And I'm not about fear. I'm about information because we can solve the problem.
Right, but the iodine primarily gets in the body, if I understand it, through the thyroid. Mm-hmm. And if you've got enough potassium iodine in the thyroid, then you're really not – you don't have a lot to worry about, but the ingestion of it is another thing. And, as I understand, the cesium, like the cesium-137, as you said, has a half-life of 30 years. But I guess, my understanding is that the barium-137M is what's being cast off as the cesium decays. So that's the actual radiation that you're exposed to, and it's a gamma radiation. But its half-life is like 2.5 minutes.
Right, but let's talk about the spectrum of radiation, and so that people can take a very complex subject and reduce it down to simple,
sure.
Easy-to-follow subject. So let's say that you start with uranium, because uranium is what these nuclear power plants basically run with. And when you have an accident, what's happening is you're producing a bunch of daughter cells off of the uranium. And these daughter cells have different kinds of toxicity, but they're all within the realm of being radiation poisoning. They're all a kind of radiation poisoning. And you can have dozens of these particles coming off of the uranium, like iodine, like cesium, like strontium, like barium, and other forms of the same minerals. Other forms that last much longer. One of them is plutonium, and plutonium has a half-life of 24,000 years. And then you have another kind of iodine that has a half-life of 15 million years, as opposed to 8 days. So what I'm trying to get everyone to realize is just something very simple, that you start with uranium, and then when an accident occurs, you have these little particles that break off that are different elements. And they all have their different kinds of half-life. But it doesn't matter, because all radiation stress that hits our body is cumulative. And if we're young and we're the age of 30 and we're serving in Gulf War I and we have enough antioxidants in our system, we're going to do fine for quite a while, even if we're exposed to the depleted uranium from shells that our tanks use to blow up the enemy, okay? But eventually when we age, because those daughter cells have stayed in our body, as the natural aging process occurs, we lose the ability to maintain the large amounts of antioxidants in our system because we're not eating properly. We're not eating ideally. And so we get sick 20 years, 30 years, 40 years down the road. And that's where it's hard to track down. That's why it took 25 years to track down all the people that got hurt at Chernobyl and why they tried to cover up, made it against the law to report on anything that was wrong for the first 3.5 years out of Chernobyl. Because that way they can do their propaganda machine and say everything's fine. Well, this is what this group of Soviet, ex-Soviet epidemiologists, medical physicians, and scientists did. They took the time, they volunteered their time that nobody was paying them. They spent years and years and years gathering the correct data, and they found out that it's close to 1 million people and growing that were hurt at Chernobyl, because these radioactive particles, whether they become a 2-minute particle or whether they stay as a 30-year particle, they keep on going at least for the next 100 years. That's the problem. That's the real problem.
Does that answer your question, Constitution?
Gotcha. Yeah, it really does. My only other question was, where can I find some of the source material to read through, for the peer-reviewed studies that you were talking about? This is something that does interest me quite a bit.
Well, thank you for asking that. I have an ebook coming out here within the next it'll be definitely this month. It may be within the next two weeks. I'm hosting a radiation panel of experts in Chicago this Friday, and we're going to be talking about this. We have some of the secret information. It was confidential. I call it secret information. Apologize for not being sensational. No, I shouldn't be, but it was
esoteric information.
Esoteric information. It was information that was kept confidential at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, at Areva, at which they gave a presentation at Stanford University back on March 21st, and then ongoing information that I have from the investigators right now at Fukushima Daiichi. They're taking samples on a regular basis. I have their information. And the reason why I'm blessed with the information is because I've tagged into some preeminent scientists that have been a part of the movement to document properly, to publish properly on what the nuclear power industry has really been up to, like people that worked in the industry for 20 years, for example, as high officials, people who were working in our own government for several decades, who realized what was really going on. That's the type of sources that I have. And this will be documented into the book. So just keep aware that soon on my website I'll be offering it as an ebook.
Proof, do you have a link for his website so everybody can jump on that?
It's just drapsley.com.
Yes, right now, as the current count, it has about 200 peer review references on it, and it also cites some of the other authoritative pieces of literature. For example, this one book that's available right now on Amazon with the 5,000 peer review searches that they did and then the field studies they did in Chernobyl. That's mentioned in my book heavily, and you can tie into that. It's only like $2. I mean, if you have a Kindle,
right,
it's only two. You can download it in a few minutes, and it's only $2, and you can start reading what the real truth is of what was going on, what's been going on there.
That's outstanding. I think that's really what needs to happen in the conversation. And you know, there's a lot of sensationalism that goes on out there, and on both sides, and you know, you end up, you don't know what to believe.
Well, that's where you study how propaganda is done. If you
absolutely,
if you're not using, here's my guideline, okay? Because I had to cut through it all too. If you're not using common sense with your highfalutin science, something's wrong.
Sure.
Something's wrong. If the average person can't understand what you're saying, something's wrong.
I can certainly agree with that. Well,
so,
I appreciate the time, guys, and carry on with the show. I'm going to drop out and give somebody else a chance to call and give proof
of
chance.
We have an unlisted number here, so tonight I have to tread it.
I understand.
I have to tread much lighter than normal here, but we'll see what's going on. Thanks
you
for calling.
You got a
Go ahead. You're on unlisted number.
Yes. Can you tell me about Battletoads?
All right. Never mind. Don't worry about it. Let's go to our break right now, since we have a break in the segment. What do we want to cover when we get back?
Well, we could, you know, depending upon where people are at that are listening right now, we could take it in several different directions. I think that one of the things I'd like to do is to do a review of the nuclear fuel that was released into the environment compared to Chernobyl and compared to Three Mile Island, because that way it's simple, people can understand it, and then we can't, we'll not be fooled by other people reporting highfalutin science about why we're, everything's going to be just fine. So.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and grab my break here, and we'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll keep it going.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you very much. And we'll be right back, guys.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day. And I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hi, Freedomizers. This is Broccoli Man again telling you about the contest Proof Negative is doing for an ounce of silver. This contest already started, so you better get started. This is a Freedomizer Radio cartoon contest. You go to extranormal.com and spell it right. It is spelled extranormal.com. Or you can go to goanimate.com, or you can create your own cartoon. It doesn't matter where you make it. Anyway, you create a cartoon. You put it up on YouTube or any other video upload site. You then send an email to contest@freedomizerradio.com with the link to your video. The cartoon has to mention Freedomizer Radio in a relevant manner. So no talking about how you like grandma's oatmeal, then saying Freedomizer Radio one time and then going back to talking about your junk. The best videos go on the freedomizerradio.com website. Entries are accepted until June 30th, 2011. Then, we all get to vote for a few days on our favorite video. Then on July 4th, 2011, a winner is chosen and Proof Negative mails out an ounce of silver to the most creative and funny cartoonist. This contest is open to everyone except me and Proof Negative. Wait a minute. Why can't Broccoli Man make a video? Oh well. I hope someone wins Proof Silver. And remember, please listen to Freedomizer Radio and go to freedomizerradio.com and help me fight New World Order crime.
In today's world, being prepared is on everyone's mind. You're being told every day to prepare yourself. Okay, being prepared is one thing, but how are you preparing? Is the food you're going to eat something that you'll really enjoy? You know, comfort food. Or is it just something you'll eat for the sake of eating? After all, who cares about taste? You do. And at Tomorrow's Harvest, it's all about variety, taste, and a larger portion for less money. At Tomorrow's Harvest, you'll find 85 varieties of prepackaged meals, or you can customize your own family's menu. You can choose what you want, and they'll put it together for you. You choose what you and your family will eat every day. You'll find entrees like lasagna, beef stroganoff, salmon, ground beef, steak and chicken, and don't forget real milk, the kind of food that, when you need comfort, it's there.
and preparation is as easy as 6 months, same as cash. Prepare today with Tomorrow's Harvest in Bountiful or online at tomorrowsharvest.com. Tomorrow's Harvest, a better taste in being prepared.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
I still meet people who believe that in tough times that Big Brother will save their skin. Really. The list of cities and states that are bankrupt is growing as I speak. Let's face it, you are the first line of defense in a crisis. Do you have an extra supply of storable food and water? The stores will be empty in a matter of hours in a crisis. Look, if you're willing to face reality, call Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest and she can help you get started no matter your budget. Healthy Harvest carries a full line of emergency preparedness and food storage products, including 300 different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. She has vital information on water storage and purification, emergency evacuation kits and supplies. Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest is in the business of saving lives. Your life, your family's. Call Jan, toll-free 888-311-8940. 888-311-8940. Call now.
Join us as we explore the world to come. Jump and Ship with Captain Dan will take you on a trip to a sustainable life in the coming times. Join us as we discover how to build sustainable housing, water reclamation and recycling techniques, growing, preserving, and preparing your own food, and rebuilding not only your lives and your homes, but your communities. That's Jump and Ship with Captain Dan, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Saturday, on Freedomizer Radio.
All right, guys, we are back. Proof Negative here with Dr. John Apsley. And, well, I think we got, what, about a half hour left together?
Yes, it looks like we still cover some good stuff.
All right. Now, one thing I did want to cover, if you know anything about this, I was hoping to go into some of that E. coli, that the scare that was in Europe.
You know, I have to tell you this. I have a different perspective on it than most, and it doesn't rule out that we have some sort of new super germ that's appeared or that someone's engineered it and someone's released it. I don't know about that part of it, but I can tell you what's happened here. In my area, we've had just a lot of people since the Fukushima fallout started hitting here on March 18th get sick. And it was during the time of year when we normally don't. Normally we're already through it. And it was children. It was the Boy Scouts. My son's a Boy Scout, and half his troop was sick. And our family was sick. We have a large family. There are major high-tech industry here. My wife is one of the senior managers there. A lot of her folks were sick. And then a lot of my patients that I was talking to, not only here but also across the nation, they were sick. And it was this cough. It was this sinus throat cough type of thing. And I started treating folks in my own family here with two things, both with things that would take care of infection as well as radiation. And sure enough, I noticed that we got relief here pretty quickly. So what happens when you get initial radiation fallout is that the immune system goes into a state of almost paralysis. It stops and to a degree. It greatly lowers down. For example, infants who are just being born, there is a spike in the infant death rate due to pneumonia and influenza when they're exposed to radioactive particles like iodine or cesium or strontium in the milk. That's been documented here in this country with what happened with Chernobyl. And we'll see it. We'll see it come out with Japan and also here as time goes on. I was in touch with one of the epidemiologists, one of the best trained here in the country, and they've already started to see a spike now in the infant death rate. It's very small. It's an initial trend. It's an emerging piece of data, but it's definitely there compared to last year and the year before and the year before that. So we know it's ongoing. Well, what's going on? Well, we have enough germs that are around us all the time, including maybe this E. coli that's a different species that's never been seen before over in Europe. It's just they're just always present. And when our immune system is put into a trance-like state, then these other bacteria that normally don't bother us, they suddenly start taking over. And I think that's what's happened to us here. And by the time that Fukushima started dosing Europe with its radioactive particles, I'm sure that was a contributing cause. It might not have been the end all with the situation, but it certainly didn't help, because with a stronger immune system, we're going to be able to handle these more aggressive forms of E. coli than if we have a weaker immune system. And again, it gets into why we see the waves of sickness occur with radiation poisoning, because if you're young and healthy and you're exposed, it might actually not do you any harm at all for a while. But then as you age, if it's still in your system, eventually it'll catch up with you. So I wanted to alert everyone that we can do things about this. And if, for example, the people in Europe were to start taking probiotics, Acidophilus, living yogurt, or even miso soup, it certainly would help, because that would put the right bacteria back into the intestinal tract, and it would compete against the E. coli there. They actually do battle. They do battle for us as long as we're taking in the right kinds of bacteria. So that's one thing we do. The other thing is that clay will absorb that E. coli, just like charcoal will. So when people get food poisoning, they'll sometimes know to go down to the health food store and get some charcoal. And that
of the things I use on a regular basis is the activated charcoal. That's one of my favorites, actually.
Yeah, see, you're just ahead of the curve here. I can tell you every time that, it's not often I hear someone say that. That's true. And I think clay is, in this case, would be a little bit better or just as good as high-grade charcoal, because it's so well studied and it's not expensive, and it will not only grab onto the wrong bacteria, but also it'll grab onto the radioactive particles that we want out of our body. So that's a good point. That's a real good point there. So my take is that we're going to see these types of super germs pop up from every now and again. But if we're prepared by knowing how to keep our immune system online, and we need a little extra help, let's say we need some a little extra garlic or some maybe we can use an herb or two, or I use some silver hydrosol that's very, very bioactive, and it instantly takes care of these problems without much more fanfare.
Okay. So let me see. What I generally take, I have kelp, I have activated charcoal, and I use a calcium and zinc mixture. And there's five of them I take every day. Vitamin C is the fourth one, and I can't think of the fifth one offhand.
Well, do you take some oil? I take some good omega oil or something, omega-3 oil?
I don't take any oils at all, and I know that's not a good thing, but that's I take five things in the morning, and I don't know how many vitamins should I be taking in a day before I go to work.
Well, this is one thing that my ebook will have, is that it'll give you the according to the family budget, it'll tell you the best things to buy, get the most bang for the buck. It'll tell you when to take them. For example, you don't want to take activated charcoal with anything else, and you don't want to take a good edible clay. You don't want to take that with anything else. You want to take them separate. So let's say
really,
first thing
why is that?
Because it absorbs the good guys and it takes it right out.
Oh, really? Okay.
Takes it right out into the toilet. So you don't
okay,
want
so
to do.
So what I should probably be doing then is taking my charcoal before I go to bed.
Or you could do it first thing in the morning and like a half
That's
hour
what
later.
I do with everything else.
Oh, well, then just do one simple thing. Go ahead and take your charcoal first thing in the morning and then take the rest of your stuff right after breakfast.
Okay.
You'll be fine then. You'll be fine.
All right. I generally just have fruit for breakfast, so I'm hoping that'll be enough.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you don't get an upset stomach when you take your other supplements, that's fine. Just give yourself a good half hour after you take your charcoal or if people use edible clay, because that way it'll be through your system. It'll be out of the way. And then when you take your fruit or your other breakfast, or I like a smoothie, and you take your other supplements with it, you're good to go.
Yeah, my I think I told you last time, my drink, I'm actually drinking right now here, I drink a lot of tea usually, but in the daytime I drink I take Meyer lemons when they're available and regular lemons. I have some lime and some ginger and some cayenne pepper in some room temperature water.
That's right.
That's
yeah,
what I drink all day.
Yeah, and see, that cayenne pepper will really keep your blood circulation going for that extra oxygen. So yeah, that's good. That's a good. That's a good plan.
I notice when I drink this, I'm not yawning all day. So with the tea, I guess if it's caffeinated or not caffeinated, I don't really pay attention. I'm a tea aficionado, and I notice on days where I skip the tea when I'm at work and I just drink this, so I'm not sitting there contemplating a nap right on the desk.
Well, one of the things that you're doing there, David, is that you're probably
proof.
Drinking a proof. You're probably drinking a kind of tea that has its own unique form of structured water, because the lemon will do that, and as well as the cayenne pepper. It's a dried herb that'll start to restructure the water that you do, and then it'll take extra oxygen into your system. So you're really accomplishing the first two phases of a regeneration program just with your tea.
Okay. And I like it hot, but I have my BPA-free cup, and if I put hot water in here, the cup will pretty much cave in on itself.
Well, yeah, I usually like a porcelain or a good glass cup, but I hear you. I hear you.
Well, we go hiking up to Mount Zion once a month, so I'm just using these reusable bottles here.
Oh, okay. So, and when you go hiking
otherwise,
like that,
I could just shake it up, and all the pepper usually floats to the bottom anyway.
Sure. Does the rest of your family drink your special tea?
Oh no, they like tea, but not this special stuff.
It's a little zingy for them.
Oh yeah, I could make it hot without the cayenne pepper, and everybody loves it, especially when I could throw fresh mango or pineapple in hot water. But you throw the cayenne pepper in there, everybody runs another direction.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. I like it. I like the cayenne myself, but my family doesn't.
It doesn't matter if you, because I just have store grade. I haven't exactly went to the organic store and bought the higher level on the Scoville units.
Yeah, well, you need to be careful, because if you get the Nigerian, it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't
yeah.
want to have any extracurricular fun at my day job.
Yeah, no, it'll wake up your you'll feel quite hot all over. Yeah.
I want to be by the house if I'm doing that.
Hey, I got to tell you a quick little story on that.
Go ahead.
I can vouch it actually is true. Many years ago, before I became a physician, I was training in herbs. And John R. Christopher was offering classes in Tucson, Arizona. So I went down and I spent 3 weeks with him. And during one of the classes, he said, he was one of the original herbalists here in the country. He said that on several occasions, he had saved people who were having a heart attack. And he did it with cayenne pepper. And he said that, well, what he did is he just gave them like a half a teaspoon of some real high-grade cayenne pepper under their tongue. And he said that they were able to talk because you're not choking or anything when you have a heart attack, as long as you're conscious. And they said as soon as it hit underneath their tongue, it tasted sweet. It didn't taste hot. And I thought, okay, that makes sense, because if the nerves are deficient in oxygen from the heart attack, when suddenly you get the circulation going again under the tongue, it dilates open everything. I could imagine in my mind from a little bit of neurology training that it might alter the taste. It might taste sweet as opposed to taste hot, because it's, oh, gosh, I'm getting some oxygen. Thank you, that type of thing. Okay, well, years go by. And sure enough, one day I'm in practice, and a patient walks in who is having a heart attack. So while I have my nurse call 911, I stick some high-grade cayenne pepper that I happen to have under the tongue of this woman. And sure enough, she said, wow, that tastes sweet. And as she went off to the hospital and she called me the next day or so, she said that, yeah, she had had a heart attack, but they were going to discharge her in another couple of days after watch her carefully, and she was just fine. So we had her maintain cayenne pepper after that. And throughout the years, I've had two more cases like that. And in every case, it worked. So I can vouch for your cayenne pepper routine.
So like I was saying, does it matter if it's just store grade? Because I haven't got the higher levels.
Well, if you're in the middle of an emergency like that, you get whatever you have. But if you have the good stuff, switch over.
Yeah, because I just went to the local Trader Joe's, and I just got the stuff on the shelf. I didn't look for any of the higher grade stuff, so I have the organic cayenne pepper.
You know, Trader Joe's is a pretty darn good place. I bet you they have the Nigerian. You just look on the bottle and see if they say Nigerian.
Okay. Yeah, there's a store I go to up in St. George. I live in Vegas, and we go to St. George once every 4 to 6 weeks, and there's an organic store we like up there. And I know they have the 35,000 unit and the 60,000. Is the hotter the better, or once you get to a certain heat, it doesn't matter?
Well, remember, it's just a matter of quantity then. The stuff that I was taught with was 300,000 BTU.
Oh, okay. What's the organic store grade, you think?
You have to ask. It actually is rated in BTUs, and they'll tell you. Yeah. But 30 to 60,000 is going to be strong for most folks, and for most, if you're going to cook with it, for most dishes. But the 30,000, let me tell you this. Christopher would take 2 heaping tablespoons at one time of the 300,000 grade cayenne pepper straight, and he'd drink it down with some lemonade. I could never use more than a few sprinkles on an entire salad and not just feel like I was burning up. So whatever works for you, you know, whatever works. It's good stuff. Well, any rate, if I could, I want to return one last second, because this will leave a lot of clarity with the folks, if I could.
Hey, we've got about 15 minutes. Do whatever you want. That's fine.
All right. Well, let me revisit one little section here, and then review. And I think I can leave the folks with enough information they can carry on from there. If we think of Fukushima and Chernobyl and what's been going on with the nuclear power industry, we can look at that. It's a little tiny bit that causes all the problems. It's not a whole lot, but there are rare events when we have a whole lot occurring, and this is what has happened at Chernobyl at Fukushima. If we know that Chernobyl has killed to date approximately 1 million individuals, and it's disabled close to 8 million individuals, we have a reference point. If we know that there were approximately 22 kilograms of cesium that was made airborne, and that's one radioactive particle, and we know that the total amount of fuel that was burned up at Chernobyl, we can then look at Fukushima, and we can use those numbers to see just how big an event to the environment over there in Asia and in Japan that this will be to them. The second thing is that in Japan, there are 7 times more people than there were in the greater Chernobyl area. So there's just a whole lot more of the population that can be affected. But part of the problem with the 2 major explosions that occurred over in Japan at the Daiichi power plant is that it launched particles high enough up into the atmosphere that it came over here to the West Coast, And then every time that we get rain for a little while, because this will stay airborne around the world for quite some time, then it begins to land onto our own farmland, and that's where we have to take precautions for the long term. So the mathematicians have done some simple calculus on this whole thing, and the amount of fuel that was burned up and put either into the oceans or into the atmosphere or onto the land over in Japan is approximately 50 times more than what happened at Chernobyl. So that gives us our first reference point. The second reference point in this, other than that there's more people over in Japan, is what happened to the United States during Chernobyl. And this has been underreported. Now, there's one group called radiation.org that has kept track of it over the years. And the way they kept track of it was brilliant. They looked at baby teeth, and they looked at how baby teeth will store the cesium and the strontium and some of the other radioactive particles for a permanent record. And then they track the health trends of those people throughout the course of their lifetime. And they've seen a clear cause and effect relationship between the Chernobyl event and the health impact here in the United States. And that will now roll into what's happened to us with the Fukushima. So I suspicion that eventually, over the next 100 years, we will see the number of people hurt or killed to be approaching that 50 times factor that we now know has happened at Chernobyl. It won't happen all at once, but it'll happen over time. And my mission, by doing these kinds of shows, is to alert folks that we know how to prevent these kinds of deaths and disabilities by way of simply doing what we've talked about at the beginning of the show. So I'd like to finish at least my section here with a very quick review. We eat We eat low in the food chain, or we get our dairy sources and our meat from the East Coast. We get our fish from the Atlantic Ocean. And if we're going to make our homemade pizzas, we import our cheeses where we can, or either from the East Coast or from places like southern Italy, where none of the fallout has gotten to those areas. And if we can stretch our menu a little bit to include purchasing down the road a super blender, or just using the blender that we have, and getting the nut milks, and if we get the organic milks from the East Coast, we can then make our smoothies once a day. And between that smoothie once a day with the raw fruits, we can add in a little bit of some of the vitamins, some of the oils, just a little bit, not much, to make it very pleasant tasting for the children and also for ourselves. And then we can swallow our pills behind that like you do, Proof, as part of our breakfast first thing in the morning, and we're done. We're done. A little extra vitamin C,
hey,
some vitamin E.
Can I just jump in? I want to ask you if you can tell everybody about aloe vera juice.
Okay, so for those folks that have been hurt, we have some herbs that are fantastic at accelerating healing, especially to the intestinal tract, because if we swallow these radioactive particles, it really hurts our intestinal tract. It just ruins the immune integrity. That could be one very important reason why the people over in Europe are experiencing this next new super germ of E. coli, because their intestinal tract could have been just chewed up from ingesting radioactive particles, and no one's thinking of it in those terms. Aloe vera is fantastic at healing the intestinal tract. It does it very, very rapidly. The intestinal tissue turns itself over every 4 days, as opposed to other tissues that takes 120 days. So if you're not able to repair your system at that speed, it means it can fall apart that much easier. And aloe vera will enable you to play catch-up. It'll real quickly bring that healing back into the intestinal tract, as long as it's high-quality aloe vera. There are some aloe products out there in the market that are junk. But the aloe that has a lot of its good principles in it That could be fantastic for the IntelliSoul track.
Right. So are there any aloe veras that you like more than others? Because I bought Trader Joe's aloe vera juice, and it's not flavored, so you have to mix it with something. I mean, I could do a shot straight, I guess, but I wouldn't really wish that upon too many people.
Well, and that means it probably has its medicinal qualities intact if it has that little bit of tangy medicinal taste to it. Well, you can always throw it into the smoothie and if you use small amounts. But I like to put it into my lemonade. I make fresh lemonade, and I put a tablespoon of some high-quality aloe vera in there. And what you're looking for, because, again, Trader Joe's usually carries a good quality product at a good cost, you just have to make sure that it has some of the mucopolysaccharides in there. And they usually will tell you on the label that it's high in the mucopolysaccharides. And you just read the label, and you get a feel for whether or not it's of good quality or not.
Well, I was going to say, too, if you're making your own lemonade, once you go to Meyer Lemons, it's hard to go to the other stuff.
Those are the big, fat, large-sized ones, aren't they?
No, these smell completely different. These are sweeter lemons that you could actually eat and not have that sourpuss face.
Where do they grow? What part of the country do they grow?
I have a Meyer Lemon tree in my backyard here. They're American.
No, I mean, so they're... On the West Coast, East Coast, or where?
Anywhere produce will grow, I guess. I'm in Vegas, and I mean citrus. You can grow citrus here. So.
I'm not familiar with them, so that's good to know. And they're a little.
Meyer, Meyer. Whole Foods usually has them on a regular basis.
Okay. All right, I'll look for them. We'll definitely look for
them. Yeah, that makes the cayenne pepper drink that much tastier, in my opinion, because you get the heat, plus you get the sweet to go with the heat.
You know, one of the things that they were using over in Russia to deal with the radiation poisoning was honey.
Right.
They wouldn't use the honey that was around where the radioactive material fell. That wouldn't be good. But they used honey and in some cases they used some propolis to help with some of the infections that the kids were getting, and it really made a big difference. So I like to if I'm going to make lemonade, I usually throw a good tablespoon of raw honey into my blender when I make the lemonade. So.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really, I mean, I have honey and I like to use it, but and I use it for my iced tea. But yeah, for this, I know that Beyonce diet, and I don't know if I want to go that far with just having the lemon, cayenne pepper, and honey all day.
Well, you know, every once in a while, just to clear the system out, let's say you do it for 12 hours, that's not a bad way
right.
to go. But I only use the raw honey. I don't use the pasteurized honey.
Right.
Yep. So that's pretty
You've
much what I wanted to say.
Minutes. I don't know what else you want to cover.
Yeah, just, you know, if people can eat low in the food chain and have maybe look toward 50% of their diet raw, they're going to be a whole lot healthier in the long term, and make sure the foods are grown from sources that are well mineralized soils. And all the places you like to shop, Proof, sound good to me. The organic places are, you know, these farmers are aware that they need to add minerals back in there, and we'll just be a healthier nation that way. That's the secret here.
Right, and. And where else can people find information about you? Obviously, there's drapsley.com. Is there anything else you would recommend people checking out?
Yeah, that's become my major place where people can get the information they need, and I'll have this new ebook out very, very soon. And then this Saturday and Friday, I'll be in Chicago. And it's a very wonderful – it's twice a year. The Health Freedom Expo gives a seminar. It's a very large – about four or 5,000 people attend. Chicago is one place, and then Long Beach, they've already done that this year in March, and that's all they do.
See, I have to get on these lists, I guess, for when these conventions are, because I'm starting to do some live remotes, and I want more of our hosts to do some as well. Yeah, when is this in Chicago?
That'll be this weekend.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
And then next year, be sure and come, because I'd love to meet with you, and then we can actually do a show right there at the show. And there are several other radio
host
like
I'm working on trying to put together something in Vegas. So if I can put something together, I'll see if you can come out.
Oh, sure. Love to. Yeah. Always like to visit Vegas.
All right. Well, now you have an extra reason.
That's right.
There's some people here, basically we're going to do an ad swap with them. Las Vegas Woman Magazine here in town, they do the health, beauty, and fitness expos here in Vegas a few times a year. And, if we can put together a health and survival type of show, then I don't see why not.
You know, that would be really wise to do because I happen to think that we might be headed into some food shortage time periods, and that would be good for folks to figure out how to prepare for something like that.
Right, and I think we're doing a good job getting the word out. Obviously, we're not reaching millions of people a night just yet, but enough people are waking up. I know you can't use you have to have a full tool belt. You just can't use the hammer every single time.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
All right.
Be well versed. Yeah.
Anything else you want to go over? We got like 2 minutes. If you want to pass, that's fine too. But if we have the time, I want to make sure if there's anything you're plugging, go ahead.
Well, let's see. I do like Trader Joe's. It's a good place to learn to shop because they have not only a lot of organic foods, but they're very inexpensive. I think that it's wise for people to join their community sustained agricultural programs or CSA. They're all over the country, and you can get your organic foods from them. Makes it that much easier to get your diet to where it's about 50% raw foods. I like the idea of everyone getting a super blender because it makes delicious smoothies. It's easy, simple. And I like the idea of people visiting my website so they can keep up with how to cure things like not only cancer but also some of these other chronic diseases that are plaguing us. And we should be able to turn this around if we get enough people educated. We don't need to be sick in this country.
Exactly, and we have somewhat of control on that. So as long as we do what we're supposed to, and we're not supersizing me like that guy that made the movie, we should be all right.
Yeah, I mean, if the people in Los Angeles near Loma Linda University can do it, if they can do it in Ikaria, Greece, if they can do it in Sardinia, Italy, if they can do it in Okinawa, they've got two arms and two legs just like we do. We ought to be able to do it.
All right, fair enough. Dr. Apsley, let's plan on something in July, and hopefully we can get Arnie in at that point.
That'd be great. That'd be a lot of fun. And thanks
again,
right. Proof.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for coming. I'm going to go ahead and cut to my break here, Dr. John. It's been a pleasure. And Dr. Apsley, everybody, you can find his website, drapsley.com. All right, coming up, we're going to play, it's my commercial timeout here, so we're going to take our time out, and we'll probably play a song since I haven't taken an extended break yet today. We'll play a song since it's the top of the hour. We're going to come back. We got a lot of Patriot news to go over. A lot of stuff went down this weekend, and a lot of stuff is going to go down this weekend as well. So you guys want to be a part of the show? 347-324-3704 is the lucky number. So if you want to be part of the show, go for it. All right, we'll be right back, guys.
In today's world, being prepared is on everyone's mind. You're being told every day to prepare yourself. Okay, being prepared is one thing, but how are you preparing? Is the food you're going to eat something that you'll really enjoy? You know, comfort food. Or is it just something you'll eat for the sake of eating? After all, who cares about taste? You do. And at Tomorrow's Harvest, it's all about variety, taste, and a larger portion for less money. At Tomorrow's Harvest, you'll find 85 varieties of prepackaged meals, or you can customize your own family's menu. You can choose what you want, and they'll put it together for you. You choose what you and your family will eat every day. You'll find entrees like lasagna, beef stroganoff, salmon, ground beef, steak and chicken, and don't forget real milk, the kind of food that, when you need comfort, it's there. and preparation is as easy as 6 months, same as cash. Prepare today with Tomorrow's Harvest in Bountiful or online at tomorrowsharvest.com. Tomorrow's Harvest, a better taste in being prepared.
This is Gareth Cronk-Pipton, and welcome to Exploring the Verbiage. Tonight's word, change, a meaningless utterance.
Change has come to America.
An utterance with meaning.
False flag. False flag.
It would change my life.
Do you hear that?
It sure would change his life.
Thank you for listening. Please tune in to the Calming the Conspiracy Theorist, exclusively on False Flag Radio.
Feeling the effects of all that GMO food? Has TV left you completely disconnected from the rest of man? Do you have any control over your life or that of your family? Want to know how to escape the matrix? Then join me, Nikki, and together we can rise above dehumanization. Only on Freedomizer Radio. And you can catch me Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, that's noon Pacific time, and Saturdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, and 1 p.m. on the West Coast. Hope to see you there, Freedomizers.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Truth Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on Off of the Air the other day, and I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
Hold on, I'm trying to find a song here. Wait, all right, I got it. No? Oh, didn't I add it yesterday? Hold on, maybe I didn't do it right. All right, maybe not. All right. guys. We are back. Thank you so much for checking us out here. Proof Negative here, my third and final hour tonight. And tomorrow, we're going to be joined by Daniel Howell, a professor from Liberty University, and the organic guru, Lynette Pate. Wednesday, we're going to be with Da Vinci J, and I think we have Rosalind Peterson Wednesday. I can't confirm that offhand. And we'll, Da Vinci J, we'll talk about the gold and silver. We'll get into some talk about the new currency that's sweeping the world called Bitcoin, which is, would this be the cashless currency that everybody's talking about? There's some people that think yes, and then obviously there's some haters out there, so we'll see what people think of this. And I'm on the fence. I'm not really a fan of cashless currency myself. But we'll see. Thursday, Alan Phillips from VaccineRights.com and NaturalNews.com will join us. But tonight, I was hoping that that this would be an audition night for round two for somebody, but they are not in. So I don't know if they got scared or they forgot or they're still working on their guest. So, oh well, that's all right. Our spots are filling up fast, guys. We are finishing up our auditions for So Who's the Next Freedomizer? I'm still waiting word as to when we can go to the seriously expanded time slot. I mean, the money's there waiting for it to be taken out. So the second they take it out and flip on the switch, we're going to it. We got shows waiting. So, yes, we will be going to 18 hours live every day, which is more than a lot of other networks are doing as far as live shows. So, actually, you know what? I was just, I want to get that article here. There's something that I want to discuss in just a minute here, but I got to find this. I'm sorry. I know that. This makes bad radio for me rambling here. You know what? Instead of listening to me ramble, there's an article that I want badly here. So I'm going to let Broccoli Man tell you about the silver contest real quick. And I want to come back and cover this immediately. And I just now remembered, so I apologize. But, hey, that's how we do things. We'll be right back.
Hi, Freedomizers. This is Broccoli Man again telling you about the contest Proof Negative is doing for an ounce of silver. This contest already started, so you better get started. This is a Freedomizer Radio cartoon contest. You go to extranormal.com and spell it right. It is spelled extranormal.com. Or you can go to goanimate.com, or you can create your own cartoon. It doesn't matter where you make it. Anyway, you create a cartoon. You put it up on YouTube or any other video upload site. You then send an email to contest@freedomizerradio.com with the link to your video. The cartoon has to mention Freedomizer Radio in a relevant manner. So no talking about how you like grandma's oatmeal then saying Freedomizer Radio one time and then going back to talking about your junk. The best videos go on the FreedomizerRadio.com website. Entries are accepted until June 30th, 2011. Then, we all get to vote for a few days on our favorite video. Then on July 4th, 2011, a winner is chosen and Proof Negative mails out an ounce of silver to the most creative and funny cartoonist. This contest is open to everyone except me and Proof Negative. Wait a minute. Why can't Broccoli Man make a video? Oh well. I hope someone wins Proof Silver. And remember, please listen to Freedomizer Radio and go to freedomizerradio.com and help me fight New World Order crime.
All right, guys, we are back. But, all right, I don't know if you guys are going to believe me on this, so I'm going to have to show you proof. That's where Proof Negative comes in here. And sorry, I just had to go to this. Where are our trolls when we need them? So I'm sure the trolls would have been all over this. All right, for those of you who did not know, just recently, in an effort to help ban circumcision in California, and some other states are looking at it if California passes this, there's a comic, MGM Bill Comics, number one episode of Foreskin Man. So, you guys are going to have to check this out. But I'll read the article here, but I'm hoping you guys check out the link and check it yourself, because there are people that are going to not believe me here. In Los Angeles here, a politically motivated comic book pitting a blonde superhero called Foreskin Man is against a sinister-looking monster mohel, causing a serious flap in California. The colorful series was created by the activist group MGMBill.org as part of its campaign to ban circumcision through ballot initiatives. The Anti-Defamation League is blasting it as being overly Semitic. Foreskin Man is grotesque and anti-Semitic imagery and themes, reaches a new low, and is disrespectful and deeply offensive, says Nancy Appel, the ADL Associate Regional Director. The online series portrays a menacing-looking mohel, someone specially trained to perform the traditional Jewish circumcision ceremony, waving bloody scissors over a screaming baby laid out on a pool table. Apple said the imagery invokes the age-old anti-Semitic canards, such as the bloody libel, the accusation that Jews ritually murder Christian children. Matthew Hess, the president of the MGM Bill and the series creator, did not immediately return an answer seeking comment. His San Diego-based group has an anti-circumcision measure on the ballot in San Francisco's next election in November. And he Nancy Appel says, we would have hoped that those backing the anti-circumcision effort in San Francisco would know better than to use this type of anti-Semitic imagery to advance their cause. No matter what one's personal opinions of male circumcision are, it is irresponsible to use a stereotypical character of religious Jews to promote the anti-circumcision agenda. So, with that in mind, I do have a Judeo-Christian background. And I could see where they're going on this, and they're trying to say that this ugly ogre is Jewish, and you have the Aryan guy, the blonde blue-haired or blonde blue-eyed guy, all American, I guess, or all German, who knows? And it looks like they drew this guy to be a cartoonish certain part of the body. And, yeah, I find this disgusting. See, if it didn't have to do with trying to manipulate voters, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but the fact that this is being used as political propaganda, and the person that made this cartoon or comic is doing so to win an election, yeah, I'm not really a fan of that. I'm all for freedom of speech, but at the same time, I'm not... I'm not really a fan of this. And to me, I don't care one way or the other. This is part of the liberal versus conservative mentality, I suppose. And not that I'm either, I'm definitely not liberal. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. This is basically free agent political radio here. But part of my beliefs is that if you want to circumcise or not circumcise, that's up to you. If someone wants their junk clipped, I don't care one way or the other. I don't think it's fair to force an issue, especially one of religious beliefs, to go one way or the other. I don't want to make it mandatory, and I don't want to ban it. It's a personal choice of freedom, and I don't need a government agenda to tell me what my religious beliefs are. Dora Williamson, Dory, you said it right here. Why the big deal over circumcision? If you don't want your son to get one, don't. Then keep the law out of it. You're right. This is a personal issue. This is, to me, and I know there's medical benefits to this, but there are people also that want to ban raw milk. There's a lot of people that believe that's healthy, and I've never drank raw milk personally. I've been told I don't know what I'm missing. But once again, that's a personal decision as far as if you drink raw milk or you like yours ultra-pasteurized. It shouldn't be something that I don't want somebody making laws one way or the other. I know there's many states that are making it mandatory that if you want to buy a pet, you have to buy a pet with a microchip in it. They're not allowed to sell you a pet microchip free. And there's states that are doing this. There's cities actually that are banning the ability to buy a pet at a pet store. If you guys think I'm joking, you can look it up. I know Austin, Texas voted 8-0, so that PetSmart and Petco and whatever regional pet stores there are, mom and pops, you're not allowed to sell puppies, kittens, ferrets, whatever. I think they allow fish. But, yeah, they want you to buy your pets from the pound. And the only way you can get your pet from the pound is if you pick one up with a microchip in it. So San Francisco went to this. San Francisco also banned Happy Meals. And I think New York City either just banned them or they're getting ready to ban Happy Meals as well. So as much as I don't want to see people going to McGMO and purchasing the sad meals for their kids, I'm just because I don't like it doesn't mean that they shouldn't have a right to sell it. So now they just sell the meal and they could purchase the toy separately, which is perfectly legal for them. So you can't give them the free pack of Jacks or whatever. You have to charge 99 cents for the toy that goes with it. But that's basically what it's about. It's all about just trying to ensure that every decision you make, you don't have a choice in. Now, I'm sure if the government told you what side of the bed you have to sleep on, there's a lot of people that would, it doesn't matter if it's, they could fudge any numbers, I guess, and say that for your safety, you're only allowed to sleep on your right side. Yes, light bulbs. Yes, Al Will. I'll get into some light bulb smack. That's fine. Yeah, California started this, and I guess the rest of the country is going to go to this at the beginning of the year, where they already banned 100-watt light bulbs from being sold at markets in California. So now what you have is you have these corporations making 96-watt light bulbs to circumvent the law, and I don't want any twisties. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm if I got a free twisty, it's in the house. I mean, I'll take a backup light bulb. I'm not saying that I'm going to switch every room in the house, but if a light goes out and somebody gave me a free twisty light bulb, and if I ran out of light bulbs and that's all I have, hey, I'm going to use it till I buy another light bulb. But I'm not going to go crazy and change out everything in my house. So, yeah, I gotta remember to start buying extra light bulbs. Let's see. I did want to talk about my mortgage for a little bit here, but I think I'll do that after I take my my final break. Let me get into this. Sorry, I know I'm running low on time right now. There is a person out there, a writer from Australia. Let me go ahead and share this with you. You guys aren't going to believe this. But there's people out there that are saying that if you do not believe in carbon taxes and you don't believe that there's global warming, there's people out there that are trying to pass legislation so that you get tattooed. You get a tattoo on you mandatory if you don't believe in climate change. And, hey, they announced it. Yeah, now it's people are going to say I'm a conspiracy theorist because nobody's going to want to tattoo you. But if nobody wants to tattoo people, then why are they writing articles about it? So I don't want to read the whole thing. All I'm saying is that they got people calling for, just like in the 1930s, if you were a Jew, you had to get a tattoo. So they want this to be just like you were the Jews in Nazi Germany. That's what they're talking about here. So I'm debating whether or not I want to read this. I wanted to bring it to everybody's attention. And I know we have our resident liberal. I don't know if they're listening tonight. But, yeah, if anyone wants to call in, and I see a caller here, so that's fine. I'll go ahead and concede the line here. If anyone else wants to be a part of the show, if you're a first-time listener or first-time caller, that's fine. I'm real easy to get along with, I promise. All right, let's hit the phones. The Latin Indian in North Carolina, go ahead.
Hey, everybody.
Hello again.
I just wanted to kind of like rewind a little bit about when we got into talking about, I guess, personal issues and what the government has, I guess, what type of say they have over helping us, I guess, to decide what we can and can't do or what we should and shouldn't
right.
do. And it brought up a good point about, like, the McDonald's Happy Meals being banned and stuff like that. I never really thought I would see the day when they actually ban it. And obviously they did for certain reasons, because it's not allowing children to have a healthier start in life or it's allowing them to believe that they can eat like really unhealthy and be rewarded for it.
My thought on that, though, and I'm sorry if I interjected. I normally But my issue with this is that they didn't do anything to fix the Happy Meal. All they did was say that you can't sell the toy. They did nothing to the food. They still treat, I don't know if you caught this last year. I know you're a new listener with us, but we covered this article over and over and over again that the Cargill Meat Company sells hamburger patties to places like GMO King and McGMO and other places where they treat these frozen hamburger patties with ammonia so that they don't get freezer burn. And, yes, that's the same ammonia that people clean their floors with.
Yuck.
So you're eating ammonia, and they're not doing anything to fix that. They're not fixing the high fructose corn syrup in the buns. They're not fixing the way the fries are cooked. They're not fixing the high fructose corn syrup or the aspartame in the soda. So the toy is probably the healthiest thing on the menu.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. That's the only choice they have as far
so
as the band
how
goes.
Is the, and there's still, you could still get these this slop. I mean, they're not offering a grass-fed kid's cheeseburger with organic raw cheese.
Right.
And
well,
they're not offering baked sweet potato fries.
Right.
And then they're sure not offering organic apple juice. So how is this going to basically?
Well, the article that you posted, the link, talked about how some health, I guess, critics thought it was a good thing. But you're right, they didn't mention anything about how they're going to change the Happy Meal food itself. All they're doing is banning it. They're not, you know, they, for that, they might as well ban the food completely because it's all made of the same thing, all of it. I don't understand what they think they're doing, actually. It's kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, someone in the chat room put down, you can get milk instead of a soda, but do you really want pasteurized milk that could be irradiated? Or not irradiated, but have radiation poisoning in it from Japan?
Most likely when you go to McDonald's, you're not going to choose milk. Most people don't go to McDonald's for milk anyhow. It's just not milk central. It's not going to be, you're giving people an option. It's not the most appetizing thing on a McDonald's menu. Nobody wants to eat healthy when they get there. So,
right.
Okay, and then the second comment I had was about the circumcision, it being a personal choice, which I agree. But I also was thinking about when females are forced to be circumcised, and I've actually seen videos and pictures of females, young and old, who are forced to become circumcised. And I'm all about fighting, I guess, to have their voices heard when it comes down to them being heard with these very these utensils aren't being disinfected, they're being traumatized, but then it's almost the same thing as when a little boy is being circumcised. So now I'm kind of fencing about it. It's hard to say it's a personal choice when some of these children don't have choices. So I'm kind of a little, I guess, on edge about that. I don't
know. Well, here's what I look at. If there's somebody creating a cartoon that is taking money from a particular side of the aisle, and not it's not equal to all, I guess. I just have a personal issue with, and I if they want to make commercials, I guess, saying that it's unhealthy, I guess. I mean, it's a free country, but I don't want to see anyone try to decide what's moral and what's immoral. I want to make those decisions myself.
Right.
And besides that, the Gardasil vaccine, there's states that are requiring that, and California is making everybody from grade 7 and up to take booster shots of whooping cough.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no choice in that.
Right. So where do we draw the line? Like, how do we determine, like, okay, some people get offended when you say, I guess, don't tell me what I can and can't choose, as opposed to don't tell me what is and what isn't healthy. For instance, people are saying that the light bulbs, which supposedly help to lower your phone bill, are, you know, it's a better option as, you know, but if you drop it, you can die because of the mercury in it and all the other stuff in it. So it's kind of difficult to say,
right?
I guess, just to regulate certain things, because either way you sound like you're trying to help someone make a decision that they don't feel like they need help making. So I don't know.
Anyway. Well, that's like, I mean, there's plenty of topics like that, whether it's abortion, whether it's medical marijuana, whether it's cigarette smoking. You're not going to please everybody with one particular statute. So you're going to have to set up counties, cities, states, whatever, that where the people vote. And if that's what the public agrees on, well, then I want to be living in a spot where people, I guess, think the same way as me.
Right.
And I want to be able to make that choice.
Right.
I mean, gay marriage is another one. I've always believed that I don't care if Steve and Robert want to get married in San Francisco and they can't get married where I'm at, then I'm okay with that.
Right. Right, that's a good point.
But you're not going to ever get people to believe the same way. And when you pass a law, then you're going to have the people on the other side getting lobbyists and stuff to try to sell their side. And I think state rights or city rights is the best way to do this stuff.
Right. You can't win either way. But also the smoking ban in New York City, they almost are thinking of stop, like, banning smoking outside, period. Now, would you consider that a forced choice because secondhand smokers don't have a choice to breathe it in, or do you think it's unfair for the smokers?
Now, see, I've never sampled a cigarette in my life. I did spend many years in my 20s traveling the country as a professional stand-up comic, so I've got to the privilege of inhaling a lot of cigarette smoke back in my day. But, yeah, to me, if they want to say, all right, any kids, any restaurants where kids might be in, all right, I can get with that ban, I guess.
Yeah.
If it's a bar or a place where anybody 18 years of age and up has to enter and no one's 17 and under, I think that's a personal business decision as to whether or not you want to allow the smokers.
Right. So what happens if some people don't smoke who are 18 and up or whatever the tobacco?
Yeah, but we get to make that decision if we want to go into that business or not.
Right.
But I promise you there will be businesses that don't want cigarette smoke.
Right.
So if a bar, I mean, if... say you go to a strip club, and I've never been to one personally, but I know there are people that do.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody there is of 18 years of age, and if the dancers smoke and the customers smoke, and you have to be a certain age to get in there, then I don't see that being an issue.
Right. Yeah. Well, unfortunately,
you
should
not be allowed to smoke in your own backyard. Yeah, I think that's a personal issue as well.
Really? So what happens if your next door neighbor smokes?
Well, I mean, at some point, I mean, I guess it's, once again, we don't have the right or wrong answer here.
Right.
Personally, as long as in my backyard, if I don't want any smoke, then I don't smoke. And if somebody three doors down from me smokes and they have a quarter acre of land. I mean, I realize with apartments and they might have like a smoking area.
Right.
I guess I know to not go anywhere near that area, but I don't know. It comes down to controlling morality, and as one person, I don't know if you and I have the wherewithal to conduct what people can do or not do. I know that there are states that I want to say Colorado, where if you're smoking in a car, and never mind if the kid is in the car or not, but if you're smoking in the car and you have a kid that's 18 years of age or younger, or 17 and younger, then, yeah, you get in big trouble for that.
Right. Well, apparently someone's misunderstanding what I'm trying to say here. I'm not trying to control anybody. Pumpkin, my point was, is how do you regulate a law without it affecting anybody else? And where do you draw the line?
We're just here having a debate, that's all.
I'm not trying to control anybody, so.
Hey, that's all right. I mean, when people come in here, that's, we all get to talk here and everybody gets an equal turn, so I think everything's good here.
Right, yeah,
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say my point was, how do you regulate things without it affecting somebody else? There's no right or wrong answer. It's just that was the exact point I was trying to make. How do you do things where everyone isn't feel like they're being controlled? It's kind of the opposite of what I was trying to do, but okay. So that was it.
Well, I guess there are people in California that are trying to pass laws that not only can you smoke pot out in public, but they want to be able to do this in the same place where you used to be able to smoke cigarettes.
Right.
So, I think the smell of pot, to me, I can tolerate the smell of a cigarette, but I really can't stand the smell of pot.
Right. Right.
So do we allow them the right to smoke where you used to be able to smoke a cigarette outside until that got banned?
Right. Yeah,
I guess that's one of those issues that I guess comes up, but it will come up. I mean, there's people fighting for that right. They want to be able to just go outside and toke a little bit and come back and whip up the coleslaw.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that whole marijuana thing, that's a little, I guess it's medicinal. For some states, that's why it's legal. But then, again, if you ban smoking, you know, I can see where people can kind of get, I guess, a little upset about that.
Well, I know you haven't been here a long time with us, but one of the things I had an issue with, because originally I was for that Proposition 6, I think it was.
Right.
When they were trying to allow smoking pot to be legal.
Right.
And when it got to the point where you go to Universal Studios or Disney and you see people standing in line smoking pot, waiting for their turn at Space Mountain, or if you watched the World Series last year and the San Francisco Giants and the Fox... that was who had the TV contract for the World Series, just panned around the crowd, and if you slowed it down, you see people actually smoking pot in the stands.
Yeah.
Now, I have an issue with that, and because there's such a lack of etiquette, and people just don't care that there's kids or other people around that don't like pot smoke, or you go to a concert and people... it doesn't matter. It could be Yanni. It could be Justin Bieber. It could be whoever. It could be Starland Vocal Band, and people will just want to toke up. And unless there's some etiquette that could be taught with what's appropriate and what's not, I'm happy with it being banned.
Right, yeah. That's a good point.
I don't know how it's hard to teach morality, though, in a lot of things. I mean, if two people are just having fun in the park and they're hanging out by themselves only. I don't know. They're just, I don't know, discussing who to draft in fantasy football, and they're hanging out, smoking a joint. I don't care about that. I just don't like when people feel that it's personally okay if they just toke up whenever they feel like it.
Okay, let me respond, I guess, to the people in the room, because I think I'm being misunderstood. I'm not saying
Yeah, go ahead. That's fine. You're new here, and don't worry. People will accept you. Don't worry about it. But go ahead if you want to talk real quick.
My point is that without me being called a control freak, my point is that I'm not saying that you cannot smoke in your backyard. My whole issue was if you do smoke and your neighbor doesn't smoke, and all of a sudden they pass a law that says no smoking outside, how is it fair to the smoker who doesn't feel like they want to be regulated for a personal issue? But if you have neighbors that smoke and they don't care, then obviously it won't affect them. So that's the point I'm trying to make. I didn't say it was bad or not bad to smoke.
Yeah, I understood you, and that's why I didn't really get excited about it. So I know where you're going with that. And unfortunately, when they pass laws like this, it enables people to think they have more rights, which I guess in a sense I'm okay with, but at the same time, if they pass a law banning your neighbor smoking, if you're going to have neighbors looking all around to catch the next smoker.
Right.
It's rights people didn't know they had and weren't expecting, and all of a sudden, I have the right to clean air. And, this guy's trying to take my rights away. Right. It's the same concept as the trolls that were in the chat room earlier, and they're writing various profanities and racial epithets, and I kick them, and they create a new screen name and come back and say, I don't believe in the First Amendment.
Right.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with the First Amendment. Actually, you're violating my First Amendment because if I'm paying to be somewhere, I don't have to sit here and be called names and racial epithets and offend the listeners.
Exactly. I agree. Well, I'm going to hang up and I'll let you talk because I think I'm annoying people. But thanks for letting me call.
Oh, don't worry about it. No, I'm hoping you call in often. And, we'll be talking. I don't think this is the last time you'll be around. Like I said, people aren't used to someone newer, I guess, just getting involved in the conversations right away.
Yeah.
And I've had people in here. I've been on the air 2.5 years, and you'll find some people that come in have been here with me from day one. You saw the trolls earlier, and I don't know if you're aware of this. I know I was briefing you earlier, but, according to Cass Sunstein, the policymaking czar, the czar of czars, passed something where he wants groups such as Freedomizer Radio, Alex Jones, everything like that. They want more people to call in and use profanities on the air, come in and create havoc here so the average listener will be offended and never listen.
Right.
So that's
Got
the goal
it.
Here. And the good news is that everybody basically knows this, and we just put up with it for a few minutes, and then they go away.
Yeah.
Us. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not scared. Like Bone Crusher said, I ain't never scared.
Good point. Good analogy. Thanks for letting me call.
Hey, no problem. And we'll talk again, I think. So looking forward to it. Thanks for joining Freedomizer. You said you're going to join that contest, right, for the silver?
I'll try. If I can think of anything creative without boring you to death, I might do
it.
That.
Trust me, it's fun.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
All right, I'm going to get one last break in, I think, real quick here. I think I got enough time to let Broccoli Man do some talking and probably let Jan LeBaron get in. And, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. I want as many people joining this contest as possible. And this is the show hosts are allowed. The callers are definitely allowed. Management is allowed. Everybody except me and Broccoli Man is allowed to win this silver. So here's Broccoli Man to tell you about it.
Hi, Freedomizers. This is Broccoli Man again telling you about the contest Proof Negative is doing for an ounce of silver. This contest already started, so you better get started. This is a Freedomizer Radio cartoon contest. You go to extranormal.com and spell it right. It is spelled extranormal.com. Or you can go to goanimate.com, or you can create your own cartoon. It doesn't matter where you make it. Anyway, you create a cartoon. You put it up on YouTube or any other video upload site. You then send an email to contest@freedomizerradio.com with the link to your video. The cartoon has to mention Freedomizer Radio in a relevant manner. So no talking about how you like grandma's oatmeal then saying Freedomizer Radio one time and then going back to talking about your junk. The best videos go on the FreedomizerRadio.com website. Entries are accepted until June 30th, 2011. Then, we all get to vote for a few days on our favorite video. Then on July 4th, 2011, a winner is chosen and Proof Negative mails out an ounce of silver to the most creative and funny cartoonist. This contest is open to everyone except me and Proof Negative. Wait a minute. Why can't Broccoli Man make a video? Oh well. I hope someone wins Proof Silver. And remember, please listen to Freedomizer Radio and go to freedomizerradio.com and help me fight New World Order crime.
I still meet people who believe that in tough times that Big Brother will save their skin. Really, the list of cities and states that are bankrupt is growing as I speak. Let's face it, you are the first line of defense in a crisis. Do you have an extra supply of storable food and water? The stores will be empty in a matter of hours in a crisis. Look, if you're willing to face reality, call Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest, and she can help you get started no matter your budget. Healthy Harvest carries a full line of emergency preparedness and food storage products, including 300 different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. She has vital information on water storage and purification, emergency evacuation kits and supplies. Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest is in the business of saving lives. Your life, your family's. Call Jan, toll-free, 888-311-8940. 888-311-8940. Call now.
Ay, 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 le chupacabra, por qué?
Are you tired of losing your herd of goats to the chupacabra? Are you worried about how you're going to eat because your goats were viciously ravaged? Call SNL Chupacabra Insurance today. SNL provides fast, speedy claims in the event of your goat farm being destroyed. Low rates, fast service, and professional attitude is what makes SNL your choice for Chupacabra Insurance. Call 855-CHUPA-NO today. 855-CHUPA-NO for a free rate quote. SNL Chupacabra Insurance. Just in case the chupacabra comes.
Ay, ay, ay. Le chupacabra.
Somebody took it away. Sorry, Chalma. I was going to try to help you here with playing the Freedomizer song. I think it got... Did it get deleted? If it is, that won't make Proof very happy. There we go. Hold on.
We'll be right back.
enough. I just wanted to hook up a regular listener with a request. Not that I'm really a DJ. Well, I am a DJ. You guys have probably heard my crazy techno music here over the years, but just wanted to share with that. Anyway, last article I think we can get into. I might be able to squeeze in another one. But let me, all right, hold on. Someone sent me a message on Facebook and it stopped what I was doing here. But that's all right, we're here. This one is from the Atlantic Wire. The UN declares internet access as a human right, which I think is funny because they're trying to basically get rid of the internet. So if they have the ability to control who gets to read what on the internet, and they're going to bring out the internet too to get rid of stuff like Freedomizer, well then how is internet access going to be a human right? I mean, water in the United States and Canada is not a right. It is for everybody else in the world, but it's not for the U.S. and Canada. You have no right to a water. But let me go ahead and share this article here. The United Nations counts internet access as a basic human right in a report that bears implications both to ongoing events in the Arab Spring and to the Obama administration's war on whistleblowers. Acting as special reporter, a human rights watchdog role appointed by UN Secretary General Frank LaRue takes a hard line on the importance of the internet as an indispensable tool for realizing a range of human rights, combating inequality, and accelerating development and human progress. Presented to the General Assembly on Friday, LaRue's report comes as the capstone of a year's worth of meetings held between LaRue and local human rights organizations around the world from Cairo to Bangkok. The report's introduction points to the impact of online collaboration in the Arab Spring and says that facilitating access to the internet and all individuals with as little restriction to online content as possible should be a priority for all states. So if I want to know where they go with this, because obviously they're talking out of both sides here, because how could you want to ban the internet because too many people what are they doing with the digital copyright? I guess everybody has the right to read whitehouse.gov, I guess is what they're trying to say. Because they don't want you having the right to listen to Freedomizer Radio. You might learn something. The next wiener could get caught for all we know. So, yeah, they don't want people like Wiener and John Ensign and they don't want you guys to find out where Barry Satoru's real birth certificate is. That's not the internet that they're interested in sharing. All right, you know what? I got time for this. This will be something actually okay or not negative to end on. Proof Negative is going to end up with something kind of, I don't think it's negative. According to The Sun, which is a major newspaper in the UK, a space station was found on Mars. And someone found what they believe is a space station. They found the speck on the red planet by accident, but has provided fellow explorers with the coordinates of the object so they can discover it themselves. American armchair astronaut David Martinez posted a clip of his trip to the surface of the planet on YouTube. He used the giant search giant's maps of the astral body, and his video has basically hit 60,000 views. He explains how he found the space station or the power station by accident at coordinates 71, 49, 1973 north, 29.33.06.53 west. Unlike mountains and other features on the surface, the white building appears to have blue and red stripes painted on it. And according to these calculations, it's also huge, measuring 700 feet long by 150 wide. And he says, this is a video, something I discovered on Google Mars by accident. I call it Biostation Alpha because I'm just assuming that something lives on it or has lived on it. It's very unusual in that it's quite large. All right, I'm going to end. I'm not going to read this too much more, but just a conspiracy theory, if you will. Notice how the United States has no plans right now to do any more space missions. So I guess NASA's biggest job is to glorify Muslim, what was that last year? Their big job now is to glorify Muslim astronauts. It's not to go up in space. So there's no missions being put on the docket or the agenda. Is that because there's something already there and we don't want to know about it, or we don't want to scare people, or is this where people are going to live after the United States and the Earth as a whole gives up? Maybe they're more advanced than us. Who knows? I don't know, and I'm not going to profess to know one way or the other here. But it is definitely something doesn't match. And when a country that does all these space missions decides that they don't want to do any more space missions, then there's usually a reason for that. And I don't know. I believe in everything and I believe in nothing at the same time. But I do know that I'm up against the clock here, and I thought I could go on a little bit more. Hey, at least I got out another article before I had to say goodnight here, so I'm all right with that. Anyway, guys, I got like 20 seconds left here, so on that note, I just want to say thank you guys for coming, all the new people. We'll be back tomorrow, two guests tomorrow, and YouTuber will do stupid speak. In the meantime, hold on to the handrail, hope alive. Remember, only you catch forest fires. Negative, move out.